Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You've got questions. Melanie's got answers. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
According to the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders, it's estimated that eating disorders affect over 11 million people in the U.S. My guest today is Dr. Ovidio Bermudez. He's the Chief Clinical Officer and Medical Director of Child and Adolescent Services at Eating Recovery Center in Denver, Colorado. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bermudez. Let's start a little bit with eating disorders. So people think they're going down, but it's really not the case, right? We're seeing more eating disorders now, or are we seeing less than we used to?
You know, Melanie, I think we're seeing more than we used to, and you got to be careful as to how you, as a consumer, how you think about those statistics, because in a sense, we can say that the prevalence and the incidence, which are sort of the statistical ways in which we measure how often a disease is experienced in a community, in a country, for anorexia and for bulimia are fairly stable. What we're seeing is a real increase in the presentation, the other presentations of eating-related pathology. So, you know, things like younger kids, more mature women, more men, and people from all socioeconomic backgrounds, all ethnicities, all races, you know, kind of all walks of life, are experiencing more and more eating-related pathology and eating disorders. So I think more of this is happening, and so we got to be careful how we read the statistics. I would also add that the National Eating Disorders Association really estimates that there is more like 30 million Americans involved.
Wow.
If you take into account binge eating disorder, which I think is part of what our conversation is going to be about today, which is, you know, as you mentioned, you know, what do eating disorders look like? What do people with eating disorders look like?
Well, so I'm an exercise physiologist and, you know, Dr. Bermudez, and as somebody who has a sister who has had bariatric surgery and then became bulimic as a result of this, because she was so freaked out. And when they loosened, she had band over bypass. And so people don't recognize it. And her husband didn't recognize it. And I saw her for the first time after a while and went, whoa. I mean, it was crazy. And her teeth were bad. How do you spot somebody? Because as you say, they don't all look the same. And just because somebody's really skinny or has that facial sort of indented cheekbones doesn't mean necessarily that they've got an eating disorder. How do you identify that? Because they are all so different.
Right. So I would tell you that really the key is to, and this is often advice for parents, but this fits for anybody, friends, coworkers. I mean, I think the key is to learn to spot change. You know, if a person is having weight changes, increasingly preoccupied with food and exercise and health, size, shape, if a person is becoming, you know, increasingly, you know, more concerned and perhaps expressing more negativity about the self, you know, their desirability, their looks, their size, their weight, you know, these are, and that was not the pattern before. These are things that, you know, should catch our eye. Also, you know, the emotional side of the changes, when people are becoming more withdrawn, you know, more depressed, more tense, more difficult to be around, more difficult to have conversations around, you know, simple things like, you know, what did we have for Thanksgiving as a family, or, you know, what did your family make for Christmas or other holidays that are celebrated around food? You know, these are the subtle changes. At the end of the day, it is clear that the one way we're not going to be able to tell people with eating disorders is by their size or their weight. Surely a person with anorexia nervosa, you know, who is severely underweight, we can spot and say, wow, that person is very thin, you know, or we're shocked by the change, like you mentioned with your sister. But at the end of the day, there are so many people with bulimia who are normal weight, overweight. There are so many people with binge eating disorder that may be overweight but may not be overweight in spite of their binging behaviors. And there are people with anorexia that start at a high weight, you know, and a good example is post-bariatric anorexia or bulimia. They start at a high weight, they drop precipitously, sort of in a sense, quote-unquote, normalize their weight, but not in a healthy fashion, and they may be struggling with anorexia nervosa, but you're looking at them, and they have a normal weight. So it's really about health. It's really about health outside, the physical aspect of health, and it's really about health inside, kind of the more emotional, psychological aspects of health.
So back in the day, we heard Karen Carpenter, and then anorexia came out into the picture just a little bit more, and we're such a food-obsessed nation, Dr. Bermudez. So when you say binge eating disorder, and explain to the listeners a little bit why that's becoming so prevalent and different than anorexia, which, you know, absolutely can kill you. Well, all of them can. But, you know, as you say, much more easy to spot when it's in its severe state.
Right. So, Melanie, I think part of the key here, especially when we talk about binge eating, for example, because, I mean, so many people can say, boy, I binged today. Or, you know, I watched the football game last week and I binged. You know, eating disorders are serious mental illnesses. Karen Carpenter had a mental illness. This was not, you know, if she had an eating disorder, of course I didn't know her, but if she had an eating disorder is defined as a serious mental illness. So binge eating disorder is not simply, you know, I ate too much watching a football game or when I went to this dinner or, you know, at this particular holiday. Binge eating disorder is a serious condition in which people, you know, really lose control over their emotions and over some of their behaviors and overeat in a way that clearly is, you know, unhealthy. And this is coupled with significant psychological distress. So this is not, you know, I open a bag of chips and I ate too many chips. That's not a binge. And I think we need to sort of differentiate that. It's the same with bulimia and it's the same with anorexia. We are a culture that I think we need to sort of watch what we sanction and what we don't sanction. You know, I often tell parents, you know, for example, in the context of, you know, if a young woman comes to the dinner table and says, I want to be healthier, eat better and exercise more, we applaud her. Of course, if she was saying, you know, I want to use anabolic steroids and take testosterone pills or inject myself, we would be highly alarmed and very concerned about that. In the person with the right or quote-unquote wrong genetic makeup, meaning that a predisposition to an eating disorder, you know, entering a diet, beginning, you know, over-focusing on exercise, shifting their body weight, even with the best of intentions, can really awaken what's called their latent vulnerability. So it's like alcoholism. If you have the genetics for alcoholism and you never drink, you never become an alcoholic. If you have the genetics for alcoholism and you drink, your chances are pretty significant that you may become now ill with
that
substance
abuse disorder. And, you know, we do a show here every week for years now for the American Academy of Pediatrics. I understand you're a fellow of that, yes?
Correct.
And we learn more and more about what parents say and do and the effect that it has on our children, especially our daughters, but even our sons at this point. And that if we say, oh, my God, I'm so fat, and these kids hear this, and we're such a thin, obsessed society. We only have about 30 or 45 seconds left, Dr. B, and you're a really good guest, but give your best advice for spotting this and for parents and this positive attitude and message of health that we have to give our kids.
I would tell you, and for the listeners, eating disorders are prevalent. When you are concerned about a loved one, child, husband, niece, nephew, grandchild, boy, girl, the eating disorders affect people from all walks of life. Pay attention to your concern. Seek some help. And be discerning. Information at, you know, nationaleatingdisorders.org, eatingrecoverycenter.com. Find solid information to make decisions and better understand. Knowledge is power, and I think it's really important to make solid decisions when we're concerned for a loved one potentially having an eating disorder.
Great information, beautifully put. Thank you so much. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.